men there, and one is Marvin. Marvin's down in the Laura Baptist Church, helping them out down there. That's about 15 miles away from the Ryrick Baptist Church, and Marvin's down there helping out, and Gaston is the one taking care of my obligations while I'm here in Ryrick. And Ryrick is a community. There's, I don't know, several communities over that 30-mile stretch. And one of those is Ryrick, and it's about 6,000 people in Ryrick. 30,000 people live on Madgero altogether. And where we live, it's about 140 feet wide from ocean to lagoon. So not all of Micronesia is in that 2 square mile like you would think a cube, but it is spread out very little. It's the only place in the world I know that you can go trolling driving down the road in your car. You can just cast out the line and your fishing line, and you can troll while you drive in the car. Pretty narrow, narrow island. And it's good to come back, but we are homesick, and we would like to get back to our people. One of the reasons, I guess there's several why we're back, of course, my wife's situation, giving me a little tune-up and getting me back going again. But also my family, my wife, my mom. My wife's mother is 85 this year, and her health has declined a lot this year. So it's been good to be back and see and visit with her. And also my mother, who's 90 this year, her birthday in June 21st, she'll be 90 years old. And just the great opportunities we have to meet with both of them. You never know when the last time you're with them will be the last time until glory. Pray for Sandy's mom. She's not saved, doesn't know the Lord as Lord and Savior. And we'd really love to see that take place. The older you get, very rare do people make decisions for Christ. But I do know another reason why we are back right now. And my mother's brother is 79 years old. His name's Richard Mercer. Grew up as a Roman Catholic most of his life. The last few years has been going to church with his son. And he was able to hear the gospel in that church. And I guess I thought he was saved already, but talking with his son, he did not know of a time when his father accepted Christ as Savior. They just opened up the nursing home where he stayed at, and they allowed visitors in. And I asked my cousin, would you mind if I went and talked with my uncle? And he said, no, that would be great. And I said, I just planned to share the gospel and show him clearly how he can find his way to this place called heaven that everybody desires. So we set up the appointment, and Sandy went with me, and we saw him a week ago Tuesday. And so now this Tuesday will be 2 weeks. And I sat down with him, and he was so thankful to have anybody. During COVID, they locked down that nursing home, and nobody could come in, nobody could get out. It was just really locked down. He and his wife were separated for some, I don't know how many months, but several months. So they got back together. They're in assisted living, and they let us come in. He was so excited I came, and I just asked him, I said, Uncle Richard, how would a person get to heaven? Do you have any idea how you'd get to heaven? And he said, I have no idea. And I said, would you mind if I took a Bible and showed you how you could find what God says you have to do to be saved? And he said, I would be honored. I would love that. And as I preached the gospel to him that hour, he just really listened to every word. And as he listened, I said, what about you? Would you like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior? It's a decision that each person has to make individually. And he said, yes, I really would. And so he prayed and asked the Lord to save him, tears running down his face. Afterwards, he just kept, you could just see the relief in his life. He was given 6 months to live. He has cancer stage 4, and he's been given 6 months to live. But now he has an eternity to live with Jesus Christ. So I know another piece of the puzzle why we're here right now. And what an honor it was for me to be able to talk to my own relative about his need for Christ and see the results that took place. So pray for him and his spiritual growth. My aunt, she has, it's not Parkinson's, she has, what does she have? Dementia type. So Some days are good for her, some days are not. She sleeps a lot. We plan to go back and speak with her as well, so pray for that opportunity. Her name is Shirley, Shirley Mercer, needs Christ. And it's sad to see she's attending a church that nobody ever took the time to sit down and show them how to be saved. Really sad. But we had that opportunity, and I praise God for it, and I'm just thrilled to be able to be used of my Lord and Savior. Tonight, would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. Lamentations, chapter number 3. Jeremiah here writing, really laying out his heart and his passion for the Lord. And if you're able to stand, stand with me. Lamentations chapter 3, beginning with verses number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Now there's a whole lot right there in that verse. We ought not to forget about the Lord's mercy, because we ought to be consumed. We're sinners, and we ought to be consumed by the holiness of God. But His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness, said the writer. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. If you want the Lord to be good to you, wait on Him and seek Him, and you will find the goodness of the Lord. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank You this evening for allowing us to come back together. As I heard a preacher once say, thank You today for putting us on the wake-up call that we have another day to live on this earth. Thank You for allowing us to live. Thank You for allowing us to gather together. And may we honor Your Son, Jesus, tonight. Come and meet with us once again. Meet the needs of each and every person here, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I've seen some strange things the last month or so. I don't know if you caught it, but Amazon put out that they're building a new headquarters. It's going to cost billions of dollars. They showed a picture of what the new headquarters was going to look like. And when I looked at that, I took a double take. And what came back to my mind was the sketches of the Tower of Babel. It looked exactly like the Tower of Babel. So I Googled how high this thing is. It's going to be 350 feet tall. And that is what they say the Tower of Babel was, about 350 feet tall. You know, there was a day when evilness was done in secret and behind the scenes, but not anymore. Man, they just come right out. They don't care anymore. They really don't. I heard Elon Musk implanted a monkey with a chip. And this just happened, I'm talking like a month. And when he put that chip in that monkey, there's wires coming out of that monkey's head, but very soon it'll be wireless. And that monkey can play video games by simply thinking. Does not have to move hands, does not have to move any gestures. All the monkey does is think, and he can play this video game. Now, this is scary stuff, if you ask me. Things we've never even dreamed would take place. Science fiction stuff. But happening right here in the year 2021. Elon Musk has this dream of providing internet service for the entire world. He calls it Starlink. I'm not going to read you word for word the article, but in 2019, he started sending up these satellites. And on each rocket, he's able to send up about 60 satellites. Since that time, he has over 2,000 satellites hovering over the globe and providing internet service to areas that are not major cities, that are kind of out and about. This isn't just, what's it called? 4G light stuff. I'm talking about 5G, where you're getting a gigabyte per second as a download. I mean, fast, fast internet. His goal is by the year 2027 to have 42,000 satellites in place, and that the entire world, no matter where you're at, in the outer islands of Micronesia, in the Amazon, it doesn't matter, you'll be able to get clear, fast internet service. Why would a man like that have such a desire to provide the world with internet? Money? Sure, money's always a factor. A lot of people have signed up. I think he already has thousands, tens of thousands of people using it. They like it. They say it's a good internet high-speed service. I'm trying to go somewhere, so please bear with me. November 26, 2020, there is an article on Inside Israel. And the title of the article was, "We Won't Force Vaccine, But Here's What We'll Do." As of this last week, 50% of the Israelis have had two shots of the vaccine for COVID-19. They're using the Pfizer vaccine there. 60% has at least one shot. We're talking about the whole nation. They are setting the pace for the entire world to get inoculated. So all the world is watching what is happening in Israel. And so Israel has this article, and it goes on and says that they want to maneuver and motivate the people of Israel to take this vaccine. Now, this was back in November, and now the stats I just gave you were just from a few days ago. And so they have been very effective at what they're doing. But this is what they said in the article. "Government won't force you to take the vaccine, but Amazon will. The airlines will. The banks will. You won't be able to buy or sell or trade without the vaccine." What their whole point was is to encourage their people to take this vaccine. They call it receiving a green status. They said, "Do you want to go back to life as normal? Where you can go to a ball game, or you can go to the movie theater, or you could go to the shopping center?" Because Israel has been through three lockdowns. They've really locked down their country. They've been through a lot. And they said, if you get this green card status, then you'll be able to go into all these places without any problem at all. Restaurants, all those kinds of things. On February the 18th this year, in the New York Times, they published an article entitled, "As Israel Reopens, Whoever Does Not Get the Vaccine Will Be Left Behind." Now that's an amazing choice of words, is it not? They will be left behind. Let me just read this to you. The Prime Minister, Netanyahu, his cabinet voted this week to open shopping malls, museums to the public, subject to social distance rules and mandatory masking. For the first time in many months, gyms, cultural, sporting events, hotels, and swimming pools will be reopened only for some. Under a new green badge system that functions as both a carrot and a stick. This is their wording. A carrot and a stick to bait you, to coerce you, to motivate you, to maneuver you, dangling the carrot. The government is making leisure activities acceptable only to people who are fully vaccinated or have recovered starting February the 21st, 2021. 2 weeks later, restaurants, event halls, conferences will be allowed to open under those rules. Customers and attendees will have to carry a certificate of vaccination with a QR code. Do you know what the QR code? You see that now? It's a little square box, and it's got, it just looks like garble in there, really. But it's some sort of a computer printout, and you can scan it with your phone. It's like an app-type thing, but you can hit that thing, and it'll take you to their website. That's what it is. That's what they're talking about there. But it's just like the Nazis did in World War II. When they said, "Where are your papers?" Now they're going to ask, "Where is your QR code?" So as Israel leads the pack, if you don't get vaccinated, man, you're left behind. Absolutely left behind. As different countries are watching this, so is the U.S. Rutgers University, I heard just last week, said, if you want to come back to school next fall, you will have to have the vaccination. New York, the state of New York or the city of New York. I heard also they are talking about doing the very same thing. If you need to go to Cleveland Clinic, if you talk to anybody at Cleveland Clinic and you ask them, have you taken the vaccine? Every one of them is going to say, yes, we have. Because in order to work for Cleveland Clinic, you have to be vaccinated. Now, I'm not saying or pointing that this is the mark of the beast by any means, but it certainly seems like it's leading to that. And if you get the vaccine, fine. If you don't get the vaccine, fine. I'm not here to say good or bad or whatever. I'm just telling you some things that I see coming down the road. It goes on, and another man who worked at another hospital system, he took a screenshot of his phone. He got this article from his business, and it's also a hospital. It says, we are taking all necessary precautions as we look forward to getting back to normal. All employees will be mandated to offer proof of receipt of an FDA-approved vaccine within 45 days. Employees who do not fulfill this requirement will be placed on unpaid leave or absence, and their status will be evaluated by human resources to determine if their employment will continue. Translation, we're going to fire you if you don't take the vaccine. If you don't have a job, how can you buy any food to eat? And we see these things coming down the road. Take a look at Revelation chapter 13. Revelation chapter number 13. The government, not going to force you to do it. But maybe Amazon will. Maybe if you want to fly on an airplane, you will. I'm just telling you my personal feelings about it. Sandy and I had no desire to take this vaccine. But if it's the only way we can get back to the Marshall Islands, we're going to take the vaccine. I'm going to take the one that Israel took, because I know one thing, throughout the tribulation period, the Jews are going to be there. So they're not going to be wiped out. So whatever they took, it's going to be all right. We're going to do all right with that one. So Revelation 13, look at verse number 15. And he had the power to give life unto the image of the beast. And the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, that no man might buy or sell, save he have the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of man, which is the number 666. One thing I know from experience is going into doctor's visits. Every time I go into the doctor's, they say, will you lean your head forward? And I lean my head forward, and they take a temperature gun, and they put it to my head, and they see what my temperature is. I come back the next time, they do it again. The next time, I do it again. The last few times I went to lean my head forward because I knew that's what they were going to ask me for. And they said, no, we need your right hand. And I said, right hand, forehead, right hand, forehead. Trying to get us used to something. Would you agree? They were taking my temperature on the back of my wrists there. That's where they were taking the temperature now. So we're just doing this just because they say, lean your head forward. Okay, here you go. Lean your head forward. Give me your right hand. Give me your right hand. This isn't coincidental, folks. We're living in a time like we've never lived before. We're seeing things happen at a faster pace than we ever imagined. What's going to happen in 3 months? I don't know. What's going to happen next month? I mean, things change that fast. We need to be ready for whatever comes forward. Back in the 1980s, my wife and I went down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee. If you've ever been to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, they got shop after shop after shop. You go into three of those shops and they sell the exact same thing. I mean, by the time you just don't want to go into any more of the shops. But one of the shops were pretty unique. It was a hologram shop. They were selling holograms. And this was back, I'm telling you, in the 80s. And so I'm thinking, well, I've never seen a hologram before. What does a hologram look like? So I walked in there, and here is this lady's head coming out of a piece of wood, I guess. And the head was kind of like, you remember the old dot matrix screen, how they just dots? And it wasn't very nice. That's what she looked like. But she had a three dimension, and she was talking. And I said, wow. And I said, Sandy, you know what that reminds me of? Revelation 13, the image of the beast. I mean, you can project this hologram in every living room, in every country, and they could bow down and worship the image of the beast. Well, this year, they came out with 5G technology, and actually this year, but this year, the South Koreans said, we have a hologram we want to build in your cell phone. A hologram in your cell phone. And you can sit there and talk to your family, and your family would just pop out of this hologram, and you could see them three-dimensional and talk with them. Pretty amazing stuff. The holograms today aren't the holograms of the 1980s. They are picture perfect. Unless you put your hand through them, you wouldn't even realize it was a hologram. So I believe that some of the pictures of the puzzle, like this picture of image of the beast, could be solved really easy with a simple hologram, and Elon Musk would make it available worldwide. Everybody wouldn't have to go to Jerusalem to worship the beast. They could worship his image all over the globe, right in their own home. Amazing, amazing things we see. With COVID, I believe Christians have stopped being faithful. I know people not coming to church anymore because they enjoy sitting at home and watching through their TV monitor. I told you this morning, and I'm telling you again tonight, it's not the same. It is not the same. Man, being with brothers and sisters in Christ is exactly what God wanted us to be. And I understand if you cannot come for health reasons, I understand that, but how many aren't coming just because it's convenient? Christians have become lazy because of COVID. They're using it as an excuse. If you have a legitimate reason, hey, I don't want you to put yourself in danger. I don't want that. If you have a compromised system, I don't want you out here, you know, with getting that stuff. But listen, if you're using it as an excuse, I think if there was ever a time for you and I to be faithful, it's the day and age in which we live. I think we're going to face some things as Christians that we've never faced before. We've enjoyed freedoms forever in this country. But man, as quick as they make laws and change things, a stroke of a pen could change that. They really want to make it illegal to preach the Word of God because it's offensive to the world today. Listen, the Word of God is the only truth we have on earth. If we quit preaching it, there's no more truth left. But we need to be prepared for that. And if you want to make it through these difficult times that may be coming, you need to be faithful. Now listen, God Himself is our example. And if you want to talk about faithfulness, He's faithful. We look at Jeremiah here and he says, great is thy faithfulness. Man, great is thy faithfulness. And that is who our God is. You know, in the Bible, two times the words God is faithful is mentioned. But I want you to know the thought of God's faithfulness is over 31 different verses in the Word of God. Faithfulness has to do with security or stability. God is faithful. His faithfulness is in great abundance. As we read the book of Lamentations, man, they were in captivity. Israel was in captivity. It wasn't a great time for them. But you know what you find? Even though Israel's in captivity, God is faithful. He's there. He's to be counted on. You know, in our lives, we get tempted. There's temptations in the world that tempt us. And I don't care how holy you are, the next day another temptation's coming your way, knocking on the door. And we need to be faithful. And we ought to thank God that He's faithful for us in every temptation. As we sin, we need forgiveness. We also have a faithful God that's willing to forgive us if we would come with a repentant heart. We need to go to the Lord. He promised in Hebrews 13:5, that He would never leave us nor forsake us. And praise God that God's faithfulness is not dependent on our actions. Whether we do right or not, one thing you can mark down is God will be there. He will be faithful. We need to, though, strive to be faithful. And if we look at God as our example, boy, we are going to be able to be faithful. It doesn't really matter what the temptation is. If God is faithful and He is there for us, We have everything we need to get through that. And we need to learn how to trust Him. Paul says, I press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, that Christ, He was faithful. He came and obeyed His Father, did exactly what the Father wanted Him to do perfectly. But as we look at the word faithful, the root word would be faith. Do you think we need to have faith if we're going to be faithful? Sometimes being faithful is out of our own ability. Sometimes we just need to have faith in God that He's going to help us to be faithful even in the difficult times. As I think about our Lord and Savior, take a look at Matthew chapter number 3 and verse 17. Jesus submits Himself to baptism. As everybody watching, they hear a voice sound from heaven. In Matthew chapter number 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. At His baptism, God calls down from heaven and says, This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Take a look at Matthew chapter number 12. And verse 18, Jesus living on this world. The Father looks down, and what does He say about His Son through the life that He was living? Matthew 12, verse number 18, Behold My servant whom I have chosen, My beloved in whom My soul is well pleased. Look at Matthew chapter number 17 and verse 5. Matthew 17 and verse 5. We have the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. Moses shows up. Elijah is there. We have Peter, John, James. And they look and see this. God speaks out of heaven once again in verse 5. While He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. There's times where we need to be faithful and we're not. But I believe if we have faith in our God, if we have faith in our Lord and Savior, as He was well-pleasing to His Father, so can we be. When we think about the word faith, we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, which says, Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, we've not seen God, we've not even seen Jesus Christ, but we've certainly seen the results of what God has done. We look up in the stars and the moon and the sun and we see that God created all just like He said. We see what He's done. What a difference it makes. But then in verse number 6 it says, Without faith it is impossible to please Him. So we know if we don't have faith, that's not pleasing to God. So does that mean when we have faith it is pleasing to God? I believe so. And if we have faith and we live by faith like God wanted, I believe it was Thomas that looks at the Lord and says, you know, I won't believe unless I touch Your hands and Your side. Jesus said, come and touch. He said, but blessed are those who did not see but believe. That's us. That's today. We haven't seen yet. Believe. And I'm telling you, if we remain faithful, especially in the difficult times, that God will be well pleased with our life. And I don't know about you, but if there was somebody that I wanted to be well-pleasing to, it's my God. We have the ability, not because we have it, but faith in Him that He will secure us, give us that stability in our time of need. Oh, our God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7:9, Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth the covenant and mercies to them that love Him, and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations. Now listen, 1,000 generations has not expired. We're not even close. If you count 40 years as a generation, or some count up to 100 years as a generation, 1,000 generations since the time Deuteronomy was written? We got a long, long way to go. In other words, our God will never, never quit being faithful. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 9 says, God is faithful, who by whom ye are also called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We don't have the power that God has. But by faith, we can get His help on our side. We don't have the ability to travel like God does. We don't have the knowledge that God does. Even though we don't have these things in our life, God is our stability factor. But we have to make sure we have faith to believe Him and trust Him. You know, in our lives, things get out of control pretty quick, don't they? My mother-in-law had a hip surgery where they took out her hip and put a replacement hip in there. In doing that surgery, they busted her femur and just busted it right open. You know, they didn't expect that to happen. Things get out of control. With us, things get out of control. With God, nothing gets out of control. So if we just remain faithful to Him and believe Him and trust Him, He's going to see us through. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. A verse you've probably committed to memory. A blessing to know and believe and trust this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible says, "There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it." Paul talks about we're going to have a lot of temptation in our lives. And the first part he mentions here is that our temptation is not just our temptation. It's common to man. Sometimes we feel like we're the only ones in the world that's ever experienced such a thing. We're not. Many people before and people after are going to experience the very same thing you're going through. You know, I don't think it's so much the temptation or even a trial that we may go through. I look at temptations as coming from the world, from the flesh, and from the devil, tempting us to disobey God somehow, some way. I look at a trial to see what we're going to do. It doesn't have to be anything wicked at all. It's just a trial. Trials do come from God, and they're supposed to come from God. And God also allows temptations to come into our life. What is the whole purpose? To see how we respond. What are we going to do? How are we going to handle this? Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to yield to? That's what God it lets us go and through these things for. So in a temptation, just know, the Bible says, there is no temptation taken you, but is such as common to man. You can just see and know where the temptations are going to come from. The flesh, the world, or the devil. Now listen, I want you to picture your home right now. And you are afraid that the communists are going to come into your house and take over. So are you going to do what? Let them come in, or are you going to fortify your house? I believe you're going to fortify your house. You're going to beef up where you see the weaknesses are, and you're going to try to ready for the attack. You're probably going to fortify the doors, because that's most likely the place they're going to enter. Maybe the windows, all right? But you're going to fortify your house because you know the enemy's coming. Listen, I want to tell you, the enemy's coming. It may come through your flesh. It may come from the world. It may come from the devil. But it's coming. So what do we need to do? We need to fortify ourselves. Be ready for the attack. It's coming. Satan's had about 6,000 years to study human nature. He's an expert. He knows you better than you know you. He knows every weakness you have. Can't even hide it from him. He knows it. He's been around for a long time. 1 John chapter 2, verses 16 says, "The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life." That's where the attacks will come from. He started with Adam and Eve. Man, right out of the gate, the first man and woman, he goes right after right away. He looks at Eve and he tries to tempt her to doubt God and to disobey God. The Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by Satan. And you know what you find? The same way that Satan tempted Eve, Satan tempts Jesus Christ. Exact same way. So his tactics, they haven't changed. Why? Because they work. They work. The only one that didn't work on him was Christ. He's the only one that was totally successful in defeating Satan. But we are told and we are instructed by the Word of God to know the wiles of the devils. We've got to watch his tricks. We are also told in 2 Corinthians 2:11 not to be ignorant of his devices. So Satan is behind the world, he's behind the flesh, and he's behind the evil spirits that attack us. But I want you to know his attacks are common to man. Doesn't need any new tricks, they're common. And when you think, poor pitiful me, nobody understands or nobody would be able to succeed in this temptation, I want you to know you're wrong. Temptation's common to man. Secondly, the temptation is controlled by God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Do you know who knows you better than Satan? God, our Creator. The one that put every hair on your head. That gave you the color of eyes that you have. That gave you everything about you to the smallest hidden detail. God knows it. He knows you better than even Satan knows you. And it's amazing that God will draw a line and only allow Satan to go far, go so far. In other words, he controls how much Satan has the ability to tempt you in your life. There is a limit. He only lets him go so far. God knew his man Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 8. And he knew exactly how much Job could take. And he drew the line for Job and he said, you know what, Satan, you can tempt him up until this point, and that's it, no further. So when you're going through a temptation in your life, know that there is a limit on it, that God is stopping how far this temptation is going to go. There is a limit. Praise God for that. And Job turns out and just gets double of everything he had. You know, we only see things in our lives through our own eyes. And these two little beady eyes really don't see too much. Just looking at God at a tactical point. Man, God's in His heaven above and He sees angles that we don't even think about. He already knows everything because He's God, but He has an advantage point. Someday, maybe we'll be able to see through eyes like God sees things. If we take the Word of God, I believe we can see like God sees. But when I think about the temptation is controlled by God, I just thank Him that He controls it and only allows it to go so far. And one day, when we look through His eyes, maybe we'll understand some of the whys in our life. Why did God allow this to happen? Why did I have to go through this? Why did I have to go through that? And you know what we'll end up doing? Praising Him for all eternity. But there's times where we just need to live by faith, trust God, even in that we don't understand what things are going on. Thirdly, he says in this text that there is an escape. But will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Listen, when Eve faced fallen Lucifer, it seemed like all the advantages was to Lucifer. Think about who he was. He was the anointed cherub. He was the highest of all creations that God created. The very highest. And here is Eve, an innocent young lady. She did not know sin. She did not know the evilness of Satan. She didn't know his tricks or his wickedness. She didn't know the evil one. And you would think that all the advantages were in Satan's corner because not only was he very gifted and have extreme abilities, but then you take the wickedness of sin and put that on top of all of that. It just looks like an unfair fight. But you know what? God never allows an unfair fight like that. He gave Eve a way of escape as well. And the way of escape He gave to Eve was, thus saith the Lord. Listen, if Eve would have simply believed God and not ate of that fruit like God said, she wouldn't have been in the trouble that she got into. She did not use the tools, the way of escape that God gave her. Thus saith the Lord. Listen, Satan knew, and he fears the Word of God. So his entire attack was on Let's challenge her faith in God. Let's challenge God. Did he really mean what he said? That was where all the focus of Satan went. And boy, he hit Eve where she did not expect. And of course, she fell to that. You know, our way of escape is no different than Eve's. We need to hold fast. We need to have faith and obedience to the Word of God. Every sin that comes to us, every temptation, whether it's from the flesh, whether it's from the world, or whether it's from the devil, we just need to say, "Thus saith the Lord God, I am not going to pursue this sin because God said not to." And if we stop it there, we're going to win that temptation. It's when we allow Satan to enter our mind and play those mind tricks that he loves to play, and that's where we lose the battle. Scripture has the three enemies of the world, the flesh, and the devil. But you know what? We also have three on our side. The Father, the Holy Spirit, and the Son. You know, the flesh is opposed by our Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says about the days of Noah, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." The Lord Jesus said unto Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 6, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." The victory we have, the way of escape, Paul gives us in Galatians 5 and verse 16 and 17, "Walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another." Listen, we may have the flesh as our opposition, but we also have the Holy Spirit of God that can overpower the flesh in our life. We also find the world as our opposition. But you know what? The world is opposition also to the Father. I like those odds. Father, I'm on His side. And I know He will overcome the world because He already has. We are constantly, though, in opposition with the world. Man, all the world says is, "Why don't you quit resisting us? Don't you feel that as Christians?" The world just says, "Why don't you just go along with us for once? Why don't you just make it easy on yourself and quit fighting against us and just go with the flow?" But God says, "No, no, the world is your enemy. Don't follow them." We find in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15, "If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him." There's that choice. There's that factor. We're going to serve the world or the Father? We're going to serve the flesh or the Holy Spirit? John chapter 16 and verse 28, Jesus said, "I came forth from the Father and am come into the world." Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So we ought to thank God for the Holy Spirit. We ought to thank God for the Heavenly Father, but also thank God for Jesus Christ. He opposes the devil. The devil, greatest of all God's creation, the most powerful, but in no respect has any power like God. And Jesus was sent into the world to defeat Satan. We see the temptation He experienced in Matthew chapter number 4, verses 1 to 11. Where three times Satan tempted Jesus Christ, just like he tempted Eve. Yet, every time, Jesus came back with Scripture and defeated the works of Satan. Look at the parable of the tares in Matthew chapter number 13 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 13. Beginning with verses number 37. He answered and said unto them, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy has sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. The reapers are the angels." Jesus came, according to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, to destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Why Jesus came. According to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8, He came to destroy the works of the devil. So yes, we have enemies, and they are fearful. But I'm telling you what, we have a triune God that's in our corner and will help us every temptation that we have to go through. And praise God that He limits the temptation. We have another way to escape according to the Bible, and it is our faithful God. In every temptation, there comes a moment when we have to decide, and we will determine how this temptation ends up. We have two opinions. One, we give into the temptation and we fail. Or, we give into the Holy Spirit and win. When we give into the Holy Spirit, we win every single time. So why do we ever listen to this flesh that lives inside of us and is always contrary to the things of God? It's our fallen nature. I guess we're going to deal with that until the very end. But as we see times get darker in America, I think we're going to have to be more faithful than we've ever been. I think that's why Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not your assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as that day approaches." You know what? You guys need each other now more than ever before, because there's a battle and we need to be faithful if we're going to win in this battle. Paul says in Romans chapter number 6 and verse 14, "Sin shall not have dominion over you." But the Bible says sin shouldn't have dominion over you. Sin should not have dominion over me. "Know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness." James gives us a wonderful way of escape. "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will" what? "Flee from you." Paul told Timothy, "Flee these things. The love of money, which is the root of all evil." He said, "Flee." What does that give you an idea of? When sin and temptation come upon us, run! Get away from it. Don't let it give you an opportunity to sin. Listen, if God saved you from alcoholism, if you would, then don't go back hanging in the bars. What kind of a temptation is that? You're going to fail that temptation. You stay as far away from alcohol as you can for all the days of your life. Don't yield to that temptation. Listen, if you can't get a hold of the alcohol, you can't drink it, right? Stay away from it. Don't even look upon it. Stay away from it. Best thing to do is just what Joseph did. That wife wanted her to come into him. What did he do? He ran away. He ran away. Sometimes the best thing to do is just run away. You know, God will always be faithful. He'll always be our stability. He will never move. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we get hurt because of our actions. But even if we make the wrong choice, God still remains faithful. In every temptation, I want you to know there is a way of escape. I don't know what it may be for you, but I'm telling you, look for it, because God made a way for you to escape. There isn't any sin that we have to commit. We commit it because we choose to commit it. We choose the flesh over the Holy Spirit. We choose the world over the Father. We choose the devil over Jesus Christ. That's why we fail in our temptation. To forgive us, I want you to know God remains faithful. I don't care if it's 1 o'clock in the morning. God's there, willing to hear you and forgive you if you'll come to Him with a repentant heart. And know that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Others probably leave you or forsake you. And as things get more difficult to be a Christian in America, and I expect they will, we need to be ready that others may leave us. But I'm telling you, God will never leave you. He's going to remain faithful to you for the rest of your life. Don't worry about God. He will be faithful. But you know what? I think we need to do our part. 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 2 says, Moreover, think about the power in that word, moreover. A lot of things mentioned. Now the word moreover. Moreover, is it required in stewards that a man be found faithful? Hey, Jesus Christ set the example. We need to be good stewards. We need to be found faithful. How did Jesus defeat Satan? Quoting and sticking with the Word of God. How are we going to win in every temptation? Quoting and sticking with the Word of God. When your friends who are not saved, or even if they are saved, want to tempt you with something displeasing to God, you stand up and say, God says, no, I will not have any part of this. No. The answer is no. Those friends won't keep coming around and asking you if you keep telling them no. Thus saith the Lord God. End of discussion. And listen to this quote, with faithfulness, it's most difficult when it's most necessary. The times when it's most difficult for us to be faithful to God, those are the times so necessary for us to be faithful. I hope tonight that I've encouraged you to prepare, because I don't know what the days will come forth. I don't see the world getting better and better and better. I see it getting worse and worse and worse. But I see a God that remains the same all through it and wants to help us today just like He helped us last year or when we first got saved. He's still there, still wants to make a difference. But it's our decision. Choose you whom you will serve this day. Father, we thank You tonight for loving us. Boy, what an awesome God You are to be faithful. Not depending on if we're faithful or not or even on the things we do or don't do. You just don't change, God. You're that constant for us that we can always count on. And God, I'm thinking that as we see the difficulties and persecutions around the world for Christians, that it's just a matter of time before we see it in America. And we're going to need to be faithful to You. We're going to need to make a stand for Jesus Christ. And I know if we have faith in You, and if everything You did was well-pleasing to the Father, that we can also follow Your example and be well-pleasing to the Father. Help us in our hour of need. Meet our needs tonight. In Jesus' name I pray.